thank you, Chairman. I'm not sure if I deserve a clap before I start. I'll certainly appreciate it on conclusion. I'll use my voice rather than the mic as long as it can be heard at the back, which I can because I'm getting the thumbs up from one of my own, so to speak. And I do that because I'm going to do a short, you'll be pleased to hear, PowerPoint presentation. And because of the limitation of only having two hands, I need to use, hopefully, the remote control and my notes at the same time. So to that end, thank you very much. Now, Councillor Dr. John Kyle spoke eloquently there on the political side of the party, which is what we are obviously all about. I, however, have been tasked to speak to you about what would be considered the most boring part, the part about the administration of the party, something that we are not on a par with like we are politically. We are full of enthusiasm, confidence, get up and go as regards getting out and doing elections and winning, as so successfully shown in the council elections of last year. We are, however, verging on the horrendous of being a structured organisation and disciplined party. And to that end, both sides are not marrying up. And the political side, in my opinion, and in the review team's opinion, is lacking and slacking because there's no structured administrative discipline backup to push the whole thing forward. So to that end, I would like to bring to you today a party motion dealing with asking you, without seeing it in the majority, I'm sorry to say, for the implementation of the review of the party constitution and standing orders that have not seen the light of day since October 2003, I hasten to add, and also the introduction of the party members' handbook and the implementation of the same. And I took a little verse from Corinthians to deal with this. Let all things be done decently and in order. And if they are, we can guarantee more success than the great successes we have been and had so far. Behind every man, allegedly, there is a good woman driving him forward to where he's going to be, whether he wants to be there or not. Behind every great political party, there must be a disciplined, structured organisation to drive that party forward to where it wants to be. And there's no whether it wishes to be or not in this. So, Chairman, party leader, ladies and gentlemen all, my name, I spoke twice already today, is Billy Mawhinney, and I am the party training officer at this time, and come today to request you, the conference, to consider the acceptance and the implementation of the review of the party constitution, standing orders, and the newly developed party members handbook. So I would like to provide, if I may, a motion dealing with those three items. And as he says that, he's hoping, and he's now looking at his technical expert to say, would he press the next one up for me? Because although all things should be done decently in order, that obviously isn't. Despite, I hasten to add, despite the practice that we had earlier, what it would do. So I would like to do that, and I would like you to consider the revised party constitution, standing orders, and newly developed party members' handbook as accepted or rejected today, but if accepted, that it be implemented from the 1st of January 2016. I'll move on while we all look at that, hoping nobody more than me that the slides eventually will move on, and give you a little bit of background, if I may. Those who were present at the party conference in the Dunsilly Hotel Antrim in 2014 last year will recall that the conference decided that a review of the party constitution and standing orders that had not been modified since its inception in draft form in October 2003 was necessary. To do this, the party chairman was asked to select a review team, which he did, consisting of himself, the party chairman, the party treasurer, William Ennis, Spencer Beattie and myself, who subsequently commenced this review and have been working on it now for almost a full year and have pleasure in presenting it for your approval or otherwise today. These documents have previously been presented to the Party Officers Group and the Party Executive Group and, I'm pleased to say, accepted unanimously. There is a considerable amount of content that will not allow me to even go near what I really need to today, which you will obviously be pleased to hear. Things like the details of membership, a project we also started a year ago and is almost reaching conclusion. However, less than 50% of the constituency associations have returned, as requested, the items that were needed to be done. We held three separate meetings during that year, one of which was reasonably attended by 14 people, the second two, which unreasonably attended by four, myself being one of them. So we haven't even got that done yet, and we wanted that done for today. And that is what drove the review team to say that we really must get a grip of ourselves, catch ourselves on. And when requested to do something for the good of the party, those in offices of responsibility must strive forward and do that. There's no nicer way of saying it, I'm sorry to say. So we'll not be able to look at the details of membership. We'll not be able to look at the discipline and grievance, the officer roles and responsibilities, which are like 12 pages long, telling every officer from the party leader down to the newest member in a branch and our association, should I say, what he needs to do or she needs to do. The Women's Commission, the Progressive Youth, the fees and the revenue, the committee responsibilities, and so on and so forth. So there's an awful lot that I'm going to have to ask you to take the party officers and executives and the review team at their word to say that they believe this is the way forward. However, all this will be explained in the party officers and constituency secretaries' A4 copy, like this one, that will be issued to them, and the members' A6 party handbook, like this one, a draft of which I have brought today. So I'm reasonably confident that that will happen, and I'm reasonably confident that the majority here may see the benefits of being disciplined, structured and organised. Something that shouldn't be alien to many of us in this room. So I move on, if I may, to the party constitution, and apologies for not getting every bigger, but it's because, obviously, of the amount on it and the lack of time that I have available today. The party constitution itself only needed minor adjustment. And this, as we all understand, and doesn't even need explaining, is simply the party's commitment to the wider world in its establishment, its composition, and its structure. It's a document that every group in the world has, a constitution. And all it does, as said, is tell the wider world what we're all about. The document will be on the party website and will be accessible to all, and therefore, by necessity, is fairly sparse in content. It's really a set of headings with a paragraph or two paragraphs giving an outline of what it's about. It's not to allow those who would not necessarily be our friends to delve into and start ripping apart. But all that detail will be explained in the party standing orders. So you can see there are 21 articles in the Constitution, beginning at an introduction and ending at the amendments. I won't use any more time in the explanation of that because they are all replicated in great detail in the party standing orders. So I move on then to the party standing orders, and I thank my technical assistant for being able to pull this back together again. The same thing happened to me last year, you'll recall, when I wanted a bit of music entitled Who Are We, taken from the programme, and of course it didn't work and I had to end up singing it. Today, you'll be pleased to hear, I don't intend to sing any more songs. So unlike the party constitution, the party standing orders required considerable change. And these are the actual methodology of the organisation, its structure and its discipline, of the party and all its subordinate functions. There are 18 standing orders, as you can see, and I would like to show you what the significant changes are in the opinion of the group. It's worthy of note that these changes will also affect the constitution. And we're going to the first one, which is the party officers' structure. The review group considered it necessary to enhance the party officers' group and therefore its structure so that a wider base of individuals, regardless of who they are, and if we could say this once and once only, please, that this is about the office and not the incumbent to that office. It doesn't matter who's in it. The same detail is going to apply to he or she who will take those offices as time rolls on. And they start, as you can see, by the party leader. And leading out from the party leader, you can see the party president, someone who the party consider has given notable, worthy, if not outstanding service to the party during the period of its inception. And at the moment, as you know, that position is vacant, left by the late Sue Smith. And then from the party leader, who has the responsibility and accountability for everything that goes on this party, from us in here, to its policies, to its press, to everything that happens, that rests on the shoulders of the party leader. The buck stops there. So everything that those of us who are working for him need to understand is that that's where the buck does stop. And to that end, we need to be careful in what we do, how we do it, and what we say. So coming down from the party leader would be the party officers, which you can see is the deputy leader, the party chairperson, who will also be now oblique, or forward slash, as I think it's now called, the party chief executive. That is a dual role carried out by the same person. And the principle behind that is whenever the chairman is in a meeting like today, he is obviously the chairman. But when he is at the Electoral Commission for Northern Ireland, we want to enhance that role and he would go there as the party chief executive. And it's purely a cosmetic exercise, but there are roles within it, as you'll see when you get your party member's handbook, that are differential for him. The ones that tell him where we believe in the review group he should go as chairman, and those where we believe he should go as the chief executive. Moving down from that, then, is the secretary and treasurer, the chief elections and nominations officer, which is now also moved into a dual role. The nominations officer was a separate position and has now moved to become a dual position. The director of communications, which, as you will have seen over this past couple of years, and no more so than this past year in particular, has been a vital part of the organisation. Without being flippant or without being abusive, the party communications officer runs the communication within the party, from the website to social media to the importance of press statements and public appearances, and is, if you like, the mouthpiece of the Progressive Unionist Party, who even will be with the party leader at all times, directing the communication of the party. And that is a very important role, as we know. An important role also that's been established by the review team, and not by myself, I hasten to add, is the training and development officer, which is, this stage is me. But as you can see, if I've got another 2 years in me, it'll be a blessing. And that just takes me back to my recent operation. We've got the deputy leader, who's a doctor, and my wife June was saying, where's a doctor when you need one? And of course he was sunning himself on Tenerife. So to that end, people thought that that was important, not only in the training, which we have begun, which I apologise to say has been slightly scrappy and rough around the edges, but trying to find a level of where we need to be has not been as easy as what I, for one, had assumed. And he's also then taken on the development of the party, something I think that was probably being on that, as well as 100 other things they're doing. And that moves down to the party executive, which you can see consists of the party officers. By definition, the party officers obviously are setting out the goals of the party. So it is only sensible that they belong to the executive that is responsible for implementing and pushing out those goals. And the chairperson will be the party chairperson, there will be a deputy chairperson, a party organiser and a membership officer. And then out to the right, as you can see, there will be members who are elected as party spokespersons on particular areas such as prisons or policing and justice, or all three, as education and the need for, and so on and so forth. And with that, then, there will be people who are elected for time-limited projects. And they would be given a year or however long the party leader and officers deem necessary to prepare a paper. And in fact, today we're going to hear one, the UN Resolution 1325 on women's in governance, which will be presented by Tina Patrick. And they're there. And then moving down from that is the constituency association and subordinate branches. The constituency associations, as you know, are North Belfast, East Belfast, South Belfast, East Antrim, North Antrim, etc., etc. From them, we're hoping, that's all we have at the moment, so from there we're hoping, and we are confident actually, that they will evolve into subordinate branches feeding into that. So if you were from North Belfast, we would hope that in time there will be a Sunningdale branch of North Belfast, for example, and that is the idea of how that works. In each constituency association, the following officers are a must, and I have noticed, as I was provided by these as training officer so I could prepare for this, that many of our associations are lacking. We are not fulfilling all these places, and they are chairperson, deputy chairperson, secretary, treasurer, organiser and membership officer, and electoral and communications officer. Now, the bottom two are new, so they weren't expected to be filled, but I see there are branches without, associations without deputy chairpersons, for example, and I know people will say that's because of numbers, but actually we only need 6 and you must have 10 to be a working association. So people need to step up to the mark, so to speak. And then the last part of that, out to the right again, as you can see, is optional positions as required. And they're deputies for those 4 across on the left from the assistant secretary down. And that is needed for when you aren't there. And a good example of that might well be, should the secretary fall sick, then he needs a deputy to step in and do what he should be doing, not having him carried on his deathbed to the meeting so that he can do whatever it is. And that's not me I'm talking about, that's a generalisation. Although I was carried from my deathbed, but that's not, that wasn't the point. And so that was the officers. Now, again, we'll move straight on, if I could, to the committee structure and take a few questions, if any, at the end. Not the ideal way of doing it, but time limited. As you can see, there are also substantial suggested changes to the party committee structure. And that starts at the party executive, where the chair is the party chairperson, deputy chairperson, secretary, party secretary, and party officers. That belongs to the executive. That's the group that implements everything that we say here today, and everything that we accept here today. They will then be responsible and accountable for implementing that out across the party. Out to the left of that is the Standing Orders Committee, and that consists again of the chairperson, and then members would be the party secretary, treasurer, training and development officer, and 3 members from the wider party. They will deal with the standing orders, not just the implementation and the management of the standing orders, but the preparation in the lights of today. And they will be taking that over as and from this being accepted or indeed rejected, then the status quo will remain and we'll go back and find another way. Out to the right then is the Finance Committee, and that, naturally enough, is headed by the party treasurer, and naturally enough, consists of all the association treasurers. It is vitally important, this bit. Again, they've been made privy to a lot of this stuff, so, and it would not embarrass or name any particular group at all, but the dues that are due today are still to this time, not here in its entirety. And to be a full member, dues have to be paid. And dues have to be paid so that the party machinery can move ahead. And we all know that. And I'm sure that it doesn't apply to anybody in here. So the treasurer have a great responsibility for ensuring that. And then coming down from that is the disciplinary committee, which would consist of disciplinary and grievance matters. And the chief executive bears the brunt of handling all that side of the discipline. There is a full procedure of how it's done, and the only other person present for that will be the party secretary, who's the note taker. If there's disagreement in the disciplinary or grievance matter, it moves out to the right to the appeal committee, who you can see is headed by a chair that's appointed by the party leader and four party members that is appointed by the chair, to try and ensure an equality of membership across the board and that we're not piling up offices with all our pals, so that no matter what the outcome is, we're going to win because we've stacked the room with all those who are on our side. And that's vitally important. And then coming down from that, the Election Strategy Committee, that you can see is chaired, naturally enough, by the Elections Officer, the Director of Communications, the primary member, and three party members as appointed by the chair, and indeed then more as co-opted by the party electoral officer and the director of communications. And then moving out to the final part of that is the party council, which is chaired by the deputy executive chair, and that consists of the constituency association chairperson, and that is a must, and all full party members are entitled and welcome to attend. I'll take a short breather there because I'm already running beyond, and ask, are there any questions on what we've heard so far? Thank you, and that's great. And as I often say at our constituency association, that only means one of two things. One is that you are fully in agreement and think that you've never heard anything like it. Two, you obviously think you've never heard anything like it, and when's it going to finish? And regardless of which one it is, thank you, and we move on. And I move on briefly to quorums, membership, returns and payments. And as you can see, quorums are important. The quorum, as you are all aware, is the amount of individuals within any constituted group that are able to carry forward the business of any particular meeting, regardless of whether everyone's there or not, as long as the quorum is fulfilled. And the party terms used for these are as follows. For conferences and party meetings, like today, it's 40% of the registered attendance. For constituency or subordinate branch meetings, it's 40% of the registered attendance. To any change to the constitution of the standing orders that might well come through, it's 60% of the registered attendance. And then we move on from that to membership, and we've four sets of membership, and those who have had the misfortune to have me at your association meetings will know I've talked this to death. The membership, so I will just say that the four areas are the full member, which is everybody with full voting rights who should be here today, the associate member, who's a 1 in 10 pro rata, who is allowed to be here today, the support base member, who may be here but who wouldn't have voting rights, and our critical friends, and those who would be here as just that, critical friends of the party who would offer advice in all the various fields. The membership in dues, from acceptance of this, I keep saying that, hoping if I say it often enough, it'll happen, that the membership dues would be paid to the party secretary by the 31st of March annually. And in the handbook explains how that's done. Conference motions, officer nominations and attendance, you would be notified of that by the party secretary and respond to her or him as indicated on the advice of your conference letter. Payments there as follows at this time. Only three payments. Annual dues, £20 for a full member. Associate member, £10, payable upon acceptance into the party or by the 28th of February annually to constituency or subordinate branches. And then today's conference levy, £15, with the return of attendees to the party treasurer and secretary. The £15 is to allow for the booking of the conference room, the booking of facilities, the provision of catering, and that is paid by everybody who is in attendance. In the ideal world, which we hope to be in by the 1st of January 2016, all that money will already be in. And then it's just a matter, as we know only too well in North Belfast, of recuperating the £15 back from those who you have paid it from. But that will happen in the fullness of time. And then finally, if I may, slide number 8, the party members' handbook. This is not actually as fancy or as innovative as what it might sound. What it really is all of the standing orders compiled into here so that all of us, and it's been reduced in size to A6 so that it can slip into your pocket or your handbag, should you be carrying one, Graham? I found Graham's handbag under the counter today and he admits it is his. So man bag or woman bag or pocket, this will fit into it comfortably. And then at all stages of your life, when you have a minute, you'll be able to whip it out, so to speak, and say...
I will use the mic for this one. No, you'll be able to remove it from where it is, so to speak.
And it is strongly believed that by providing this to all full party members, that we'll all be on the same page, so to speak, again, and that this will enhance this and progress this very important part of our business of the party. And everything is contained in here. So everyone will know when they have to pay, where they have to be, where they're meeting, how they can find out about disciplining. Well, you'll find out about discipline when you're on it, of course. How you can find out about grievance, how you can find out about anything to do with the structure, discipline and organisation of the party simply by referring to this small handbook. And at this stage, I would then ask, are there any questions? And again, it's either a work of art, the eighth wonder of the world, or else, just as I suspected from the word go, you're saying, why don't you shut up and let somebody else get on there. So I will. And with that, Chairman, Party Leader, ladies and gentlemen, all that concludes this, which is a motion, if I may, from the Party Review team to seek the implementation of the proposed review of the Party Constitution, Standing Orders, and the acceptance and implementation of the newly formed Party Members Handbook. And I would therefore request the Conference consider and subsequently adopt, or indeed reject, this motion at your pleasure. Thank you, Chairman.